Hi, this is Joanne Viviano. I'm here today with Bethany Bruner.
Good morning.
And Doral Chenoweth.
Hello, how are you?
And we're talking today about an investigation that's been going on at Mount Carmel West Hospital, where a doctor, Dr. William Husel, has been accused of giving excessive doses of painkiller to 34 patients, likely causing the death of 28 of them. So we know we've gotten some information about 16 of those patients. We're still waiting to learn more about some of them, but some of the things we found out we're going to talk a little bit about today. Bethany has interviewed some of the families, and she can give us a sense of what they might be going through right now.
I know a lot of these families that have spoken out publicly about what has gone on with their family and the grief process that they are going through have described it as kind of picking a scab, that they have gone through the grieving process. They'd come to a point where they had accepted the fact, or were coming to an acceptance of the fact, that their loved one passed away. It was their time. And then they get these calls from the hospital that, you thought your loved one died of natural causes. Well, they may have received an excessive dose of fentanyl that hastened that demise. They talk about, it's like you just pick the scab off and it's bleeding fresh all over again. It's just restarted that whole grieving process for them. And it's just a challenge for a lot of these families to understand what happened, why it happened, why their loved one, and what prompted Dr. Husel to order these doses of medication. A lot of them have questioned, where were the nurses? Where were the pharmacists? Where were the people that were supposed to be standing up for these patients? A lot of these patients, from what we have heard, were unconscious or intubated in some way that they were not able to speak, not capable of fully communicating with their loved ones. One of the folks that we talked to, Christine Allison, her husband Troy, was 44 when he was taken to Mount Carmel West. He had had some shortness of breath. He was talking to his wife when he got into the ambulance, and within several hours, he was dead.
And when this news broke in January, so many people said, oh, they were mercy killings. These are people who are near the end of life, and this doctor just hastened, you know, that process, and maybe he was doing it in a humane way. But as time goes by and more of these facts come out, and you listen to people like Christine Allison, it becomes clear that what we initially thought about it being mercy killings may not have been. And Christine had something to say about that. The Columbus Dispatch with Holly Zachariah reporting talked to Christine yesterday. And here's what Christine said about it being a mercy killing.
Just yesterday, I overheard people saying, these people were on life support. He was just trying to be... he was trying to be compassionate. And I'm like, my husband was in my head, didn't say a word. My husband was not on life support. So know your facts before you start running your, but I didn't say a word. And so that made me nervous. People need to understand that that all of these people, 34, are all not the same, exact same scenario. There were 34 different scenarios going on here. It's not a cookie cutter situation.
And Christine had mentioned that her husband was not on life support. And in some of the cases, the family members were. And as Bethany said, the patients often were not able to communicate, as far as we know. So some of these families also are struggling with whether they made the right decision to withdraw any care or to sign do not resuscitate orders. They're questioning whether the information they had been given by Dr. Husel was accurate information. And there's guilt and questioning, and even Mount Carmel is starting to look into that issue as to whether the doctor made the right decisions, if there were possibilities that these people could have gotten different treatments, or if it's possible that something could have been done to help them get better. So even the hospital's looking at that. Families are asking that question. We just don't know. Like Ms. Allison said, there are still some folks who are wondering if these are mercy killings. We have not heard from Dr. Husel. We have not heard from any of his lawyers yet. Very brief motion filed in court by one of his lawyers. But other than that, we don't know much from him. He has not answered questions from the state medical board because he is under investigation by law enforcement authorities. So we really don't know his side of things, but we're trying to piece together as much as we can with what we do know.
And I know one of the things that a lot of the attorneys that are representing these families have talked about is that the families are relying on Dr. Husel or whatever doctor is attending to their loved one. You know, a lot of us, when we go into the hospital, we don't have a medical degree. So if somebody's telling us this is what your loved one is going through, their symptomology, this is what is happening to them, we kind of have to trust that. And a lot of these families, when we talked with them, were really struggling with that aspect of this as well. You know, that trust, that betrayal of trust. I know we spoke with one family a few weeks ago that when they spoke with their attorney, they said, what were we supposed to do? How are we supposed to question him? You know, he's the doctor. And so I think that there's some issues there that a lot of these families are continuing to struggle with as well. And a lot of people, you know, we've heard from people since we've started reporting on this that are wondering about other doctors. You know, my loved one went to a hospital and they died and it just seems weird. Is this happening a lot? And on the opposite side of mercy killing, there's people saying this guy's a serial killer. Why isn't he in jail? Where is he? I know that was something Christine talked about with Holly, that he killed all these people. In her mind, he killed all of these people. That's still obviously under investigation as to what really happened. But there is a sense that the number of people involved here, that this could potentially evolve into something like that.
I want people to understand that this is, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but this is how I feel. He is a serial killer that needs to be put in jail. And if that's what my job is right now, then guess what? I'll be more than happy to do so, because I don't want anybody else to feel like what I'm feeling now. Nobody should have to go through this.
And that brings out the point, if the families can't question the doctor, where were the pharmacists? You know, college educated, trained pharmacists work in the medical community. They should be raising red flags. Nurses should be raising red flags.
Yeah, there are about a dozen, I think it's exactly a dozen at this point, lawsuits have been filed against Mount Carmel Health System and Dr. Husel. And most of them name pharmacists and nurses who were believed to be involved in some of these, delivering these medications to patients. So the doctor would order the medication. So say that this patient needs this medication and he would write an order. Then a pharmacist would take a look at that order and have to approve it and release it. And then a nurse would have to get access to that medication and administer it. So what these attorneys are saying is that these pharmacists and nurses should have recognized that these doses were high enough to potentially kill someone and refused to either release them or administer them. Now, there is a situation where there are certain drugs that may be needed in emergencies, such as painkillers. And in that case, the nurse can get access to it very quickly without the pharmacy approval. And there is possibility that may have happened in some of these cases. We still don't know for sure yet. But in a couple of them, we do know that I think at least one, there may not be a pharmacist involved. And another, it looks like a pharmacist may have approved the drug retroactively. So we're still trying to figure out if those types of loopholes were part of what happened here.
And I think it's important to note, as we're doing this, a lot of the information, almost all of the information we're getting at this point, is from the attorneys. You know, the hospital, because of patient privacy laws, cannot just give us a timeline of exactly what happened by who and where. So the medical records that we are seeing, the portions of medical records that we are seeing, are coming from the attorneys who have filed these lawsuits. So when we say that we still don't know what's going on, there, you know, it's not for lack of trying. There are patient privacy laws that protect the rights of these patients to not have that information out there. And the attorneys, based on what the families, each individual family that they are representing, what their desire is, are releasing portions of those medical records to us as they see fit.
And they're pretty complete. You know, I've seen them, and they, you know, they list the pharmacist's name, the nurse's name, the times, the doses, everything you would expect in your own medical records are there. And it's like they don't even need to exhume the bodies. They don't need any more evidence than what Mount Carmel has provided in their own medical records.
And these also, one thing we haven't talked about yet, is that some of these patients died as far back as March 2015. The medical board, in a document where they're informing Dr. Husel that his license has been suspended, they reference February of 2015. So we don't know if a patient actually died then. We do know that there is a patient who died on March 1st who entered the hospital on February 28th. So it may refer to her, or there may have be more that died in 2015. But we do know that this happened for close to 4 years. This was going on. Mount Carmel had received some kind of complaint about Dr. Husel's care on October 25th, a formal complaint, and then another on November 19th, and they removed him from patient care on November 21st. Between that first formal complaint and the time they removed him from care, the hospital system has told us that 3 patients died. So they are apologizing for that.
And seeking forgiveness, too, which was a very worthy thing for a Catholic institution to do.
Very good point. Yes. And so they are, you know, trying to be forward about this as things evolve. But I'm not sure patients' families are going to be that forgiving. We'll find out as as we learn more about
it. One of the other things that we'll find out is the narrative of how it started. And I think that will be crucial to understanding this whole case. And when we talked to Christine Allison, Holly Zachariah asked her a little bit about that.
I think he just kept getting bolder and bolder and bolder this last year as far as, you know, how many people he could knock off.
You think he killed your husband on purpose? That he wanted him to die? There's no part of you that thinks he was doing this because he really thought your husband was going to die and he was putting him out of
his No. Did he wait for the results for the brain scan? No. He wanted to be right, and he was going to make sure he was going to be right. I'm telling you, your husband is dead, and I'm going to give him 1,000 micrograms of fentanyl just so I can go, see, he died, told you. Did I know it or not? I'm sorry, he was getting bolder and bolder and bolder, because most of these people were on life support, right? And then they weren't having people that aren't on life support.
I know, in talking with Christine, and Holly reiterated this in her interview with Christine, the time frame that he was in Mount Carmel is just something that Christine is really struggling with here, with the timeline of this case. And a matter of three and a half, four hours from the time that you're transported by squad to you're dead, when you were totally fine. This is something that the attorneys that are assisting Ms. Allison with her lawsuit have said, you know, that's not time to get a CT scan, of, you know, get a head scan, have that read, talk about prognosis, talk about possible treatment options. That's a very, very short timeline. And it's not the shortest timeline we've heard from attorneys. There was one case on Friday that it was approximately 90 minutes from the time that the patient was transported from a rehabilitation facility to they were dead. So when Christine says that she feels that Dr. Heusel was just getting bolder and bolder and bolder, instances like that, in a sense, support what she's thinking, that the time frames just seem to be so short between the time of arrival at the hospital to being pronounced deceased, you know, to people that aren't in the medical profession. That seems like a very, very short time span.
We also learned yesterday that the last patient to die from one of these excessive painkiller doses, we're told, was given a 2,000 microgram dose of fentanyl, which is a very powerful opioid. And in previous cases that we know about, the highest we've seen is 1,000. And we were told that 1,000 was just, from some healthcare professionals, that 1,000 is just way out of line, that like 250 should have raised questions. So when we saw 2,000 yesterday, we were surprised to see that. I think the lawyer and the family were pretty shocked to see that number as well. So we don't have a sense, though, whether he was escalating. Some of the early doses were rather high, too. We have a handful from 2015, and some of those were also high. So we don't know, but that 2,000, that final one there, is really quite different from what we've seen before.
And in speaking with the attorneys, one of the things that they have told us, those that have communicated with Franklin County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien and his office, who are investigating Dr. Heusel criminally, along with the Columbus Police Homicide Cold Case Unit, the attorneys have represented to us that Mr. O'Brien is willing to prosecute these cases, but he wants to be sure that he's prosecuting cases that are clear cut. So these cases where there are 1,000 micrograms, 2,000 micrograms, where there can't be a question of, was this medically justifiable in some sense? He wants it to be absolutely clear cut that this is what is clearly above and beyond in terms of negligence or recklessness, in terms of a potential homicide charge of some sort. Mr. O'Brien's office has not commented on that representation, but again, the attorneys that have said they have spoken with him have said that that has been represented to them as to how Mr. O'Brien plans to go forward with police in investigating these cases. Several of the attorneys that we've spoken to have said their clients have been contacted by detectives to arrange interviews, to sit down and talk with them about what went on, what was said, who said what and when, looking at those medical records. I know one of the things Christine told Holly yesterday in that interview was that, you know, if she had done this, she would have been in jail. No questions asked. She would be behind bars. She wouldn't be talking to Holly at that point in time.
Very true.
But I think it's important to note that police are investigating this. They're actively investigating this. I have been told that every cold case detective in that cold case unit is actively working on this case. It takes time to get medical records. It takes time to review those properly, conduct interviews. So this is being actively worked, and it is a high priority from what I have been told by police.
But you wonder, you know, where is Dr. Heusel and his wife? Where are they in this community? And, you know, has the government rejected their passports? Who knows?
I cry. I'm angry. I'm just all over the place. I feel like I'm a crazy person anymore. And I just can't believe he's still walking around. I mean, after all this time, how many people you got to murder before they at least, you know... If I murdered 34 people, do you think I'd be sitting here talking to you now?
Well, we'll continue to check in with the prosecutor's office and police, and we will keep trying to get some information from Dr. Heusel to get his side of things. And we'll keep talking to these attorneys and the health system, the medical board, agencies that are involved in some of these investigations, and try and bring you as much information as we can as soon as we have it. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you very much.